The last chapter of David Murray's book is titled Happy Differences, and using his mathematical notation, he has diversity is greater than uniformity, which equals a positive outlook or equals happiness. Diversity is a term that we use a lot these days.
Where,
you know, that's true. There are diverse meanings. So where have you heard the word diversity and how has it been used?
The college. All over the school.
Is it actually on the wall here?
Maybe. Especially the.
There we go. Everyone is different. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they always have something about diversity on the other side of the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How is it used? How is diversity used in that context?
Accept it.
Yeah. Okay.
Uniformly diverse.
Okay, well, it is a term that is used quite a bit, and I'm going to take just a few moments here to give some definition to that, and my aim today is to demonstrate a biblical view of diversity and to begin to argue from Scripture how diversity is greater than uniformity and how this is a cause for joy in the Christian life. One way that diversity is sometimes used has to do with the tendency of mankind to be drawn towards people that are like them. And Murray does that by saying that, in a sense, there is there's something in human sociology that notices and is drawn towards people that are like you, whether that be by race, color, skin, or by economics. Or as happens today by sexual ethic. That's another one of the underlying meanings of diversity today. And I'll address that in just a moment. To put it negatively, you could say that there's a tendency to dislike things that are different. In fact, we even have words for that. When you show a disfavor or a dislike for someone of a different nationality, we talk of that as being a racial prejudice. And this is a very interesting subject for Murray to bring up because he tells his own story in this chapter. Do you know David Murray's background? Does anybody know anything about him? Where did he grow up?
Scotland.
Yeah, yeah.
Skinny kid in Scotland.
Yeah. There's not much diversity in Scotland, and he acknowledges that he grew up in a lower middle class, Scottish, Caucasian city. His schools were like 96 to 97% Scottish, white, Caucasian background, and of that same economic class. He calls it monocultural. The schools in higher education that he went to continued that trend, and he lived that way by choice as he found jobs. He often went into locations where he felt comfortable, where there wasn't anyone that would challenge that idea. He even describes moving to America, where once more he lived in a community that would be the upper Midwest in Grand Rapids, Wisconsin, which is also
Michigan.
Michigan, sorry. Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is also of a certain Caucasian background, this time Dutch background, but predominantly a white Western culture in its outlook. But then he does say that there was a certain amount of diversity in America that he hadn't encountered before that began to challenge him. And we know that that there are a variety of at least ethnic diversities in America, in food, in dress, in speech, in values, in worship. And he caught himself beginning to ask questions about that and why he was uncomfortable, and asking the question, why can't everyone be more like me? I wanted to read in his own words just a portion of his story, just because it was, I think, very revealing and well said. This all came to a head one day in Walmart as I waited impatiently behind a line of cheerful migrant workers from Mexico as they slowly checked out their goods. And in italics, he writes down the thought that came through his head. Wouldn't it be much better if they weren't here? Yes, that's the question that arose in my mind, followed by, what right do they have to be here? Which suddenly provoked an intense inner dialogue. Hey, you're an immigrant yourself, Murray. He came from Scotland, so he's an immigrant as well, just as much of an immigrant as those who came from Mexico. Yes, but I'm not a Mexican immigrant. What's the difference? This is a dialogue going on in his head. Well, I'm white and I speak proper English. So what? Does that make you better than them? Well, yes. I mean, no. I mean, dot, dot, dot. And he goes on to write, it was an unforgettable moment of painful self-discovery. I had to face the facts. I was prejudiced, racist even. I had been there all along, but it was being exposed in all its hideous, vile reality. What was I really saying? I was saying my color was better, my culture was better, my clothes were better, my hairstyle was better, and my children were better. I was better than them and superior to them. I was a good immigrant, and they were bad immigrants. But I was saying even more than that. I was saying that my happiness would be increased if they weren't here. Their being there at that time in that line was reducing my joy. If only I could get rid of them, I'd be a happier person. As I reflected on the horror of this self-discovery, I began to realize that the Walmart cashier's checkout line had not just been a one-off. It revealed my worldview. It took one of my deepest presuppositions out of the ugly depths of my heart and mind, stripped it, and exposed it. I'm better than you. And I'd be happier if you were not here or if you were more like me. One more paragraph, a little further down. This was one of the most humbling and convicting moments of my life. For days, weeks, and months afterwards, I began to see the evil pride and self-love reflected in this belief, this principle by which I'd been unwittingly living my life. So he goes on to ask a question of, have you had a Walmart experience? And it's a challenging question to ask if there are prejudices that are hidden deep in your mind or in your experience. So my purpose today is I'd like to demonstrate for you that because God has made us in His own image, that there is a a unity among the diversity of mankind. And that diversity is the way God made us. And since God made us that way, that there is a joy or a happiness that comes to us in the midst of a biblical enjoyment of diversity. Now, I'm not adopting the dogma of diversity that you hear proclaimed by our culture. This is not a moral diversity, but is a, I'm going to hopefully demonstrate a biblical idea of diversity that is especially located in the area of race and economic background, that there is diversity. So a couple of passages to read and some comments to make that you can meditate on this week. Who will take Genesis 1, 26 through 31? Rachel, and then Vicki, would you take Acts 1, 22 through 28? Three other passages, Romans 3, 23. Jeff? Revelations 5, 9 through 10. Adam's hand was slowly going up there. And then you can take Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Acts 1, 22 through 28. Yes. I may, Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Sorry, my bad.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. The evening and the morning
will be good. A couple of comments real quick. Vicki, yours is actually Acts 17, 22 through 28. So in Genesis 1, the creation of mankind, God made mankind after his own image. And there is no distinction there between male or female. And race or economics, all of mankind bears the image of God. And that doesn't matter what your racial background is, that every single mankind has that image of God on him or her. And that's the grounds of understanding the joy of the diversity that we have. Is that we are all created in the image of God. And that it's not even associated with those who are redeemed and not redeemed. Even fallen mankind is an image bearer of God and deserves to be treated that way. So we have a sense of diversity that is just written into humankind because of that image of God. Acts 17, 22 through 28.
And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, quote, 'For we are also his offspring.'"
that passage and the one in Genesis I wanted to have read in a larger context, so you could see that the creation that's declared in Genesis is said again by Paul in the context of preaching redemption by Jesus Christ. And he speaks that God made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. It's very powerful imagery that's used there, and a very powerful language that from one Adam and Eve, from one blood comes every nationality. And there's a diversity there that, again, shows the image of God. Now, a few other aspects that I'll draw in just kind of as proof texts. Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That stands in the context of Paul talking to Jews and Gentiles. There's a racial division that he says there is no difference between any. The fall is a great leveler. The fall affects all. Redemption, Revelation 5, 9 through 10.
And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth."
Redemption goes to the ends of the earth, embracing all of the diverse backgrounds that we know. And in the church especially, how dare we think of there being divisions racially. Great Commission confirms this, Matthew 28:18-20.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
The church has been charged by Christ to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to the nations, to disciple them under Jesus. I'll leave those verses with you to meditate on the diversity that comes because we bear the image of God and because of the redemption of Christ and the command to take the gospel. And I'd encourage you to meditate on Murray's Walmart experience and to prayerfully consider if there's sin that holds sway in your own heart, that if you approach different people of different races differently, and to ask God to cleanse you of that. I'll have more to say on that next week, and look forward to finding the happy differences that exist for us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you have made us all to be image bearers, and that in Jesus Christ that you have brought together a very diverse group of individuals. We experience a small portion of that here in our own congregation. Lord, we celebrate the different nationalities that are part of our body. We also celebrate that we are brothers and sisters with people around the world. I pray, Lord, that we would keep that in mind. And God, we pray that you would bring even more diversity to our own congregation, that we would have the joy of seeing many nations brought together under the banner of Jesus Christ in our midst. We pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us from the sins of prejudice and racism, that you would cause us to be on guard against that in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.